Hockey fans, and welcome to another edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network, the flagship station of Sportsnet right here in Vancouver. Right here, baby, it's the flagship station, Sportsnet 650. Coast to coast, the show is heard. Internationally, it's heard. It's heard. Pick a coast. We're going north coast, south coast, east coast, west coast. Find a coast. Find another coast. And that's what we shall do. We're not coasting on this program, though, folks. Coming up in a couple of minutes, Senior VP of the Vancouver Giants, Dale Sipe. We're going to talk about some of the promos that are coming up with the Giants. He, by the way, is in Vegas for WHL meetings, because why wouldn't you on Super Bowl weekend go to Vegas for WHL meetings? Why wouldn't you? Do it if you can. So Dale's down there, too, where he caught the Super Bowl, certainly, as did many watching in the Vegas sports rooms. How many people, by the way, had Philly? Like, it was a game that Philly could win. You're not surprised. I'm surprised they blew him out. But it's a game Philly could win. But it's one of those games I would not bet on, because I'm thinking, well, Philly can win it, but I can't bet against the Chiefs and Mahomes. So if I can't bet against them, but I can't bet for them because Philly could win them, then I better just save my money. Don't want to take that chance. So I saved my money. And I hope you enjoyed the football. I hope you made some money on that football game yesterday. Dale Sipe, Senior VP, to join us in a couple of minutes, hitting the slots in Vegas. Bill Wilms later on in the program as well. Steve Ewan of the Vancouver Sun, the Vancouver Province, and at Steve Ewan on Twitter, regular Giants reporter. We'll talk with him about what he's seen. What a weekend it was for Mazden Leslie in particular. You're going to hear a recap in a moment. Leslie had a five-point game on Saturday night. While he was at it, by the way, had an assist on Friday night in the loss to Portland, but a five-point game, two goals and three helpers for Leslie in the victory on Saturday, 6-2, over the top team in the West, Everett. Terrific hockey game at the LEC. Leslie with those two goals, now with 50 on the career. The highest-scoring defenseman now in Vancouver Giants history. One more goal. Then Johnny Blum's old number 49. Leslie was a story on the weekend for the Giants. So was Burke Hood, by the way. He was terrific. In two games he played, he took a loss and he got a victory. He lost 5-2 to Portland. And the Giants were down like 4-0 2 minutes into the second period. But Hood made 28 saves in that game. And there was an empty netter in there, so gave up four goals. They came back with him on Saturday night. 37 saves. For Burke. Leslie might have gotten in front of a few shots too. But Burke made 37 saves in the victory over the Silvertips. And on the weekend, 1-1, rocked a 917 save percentage on the weekend. This rookie goaltender, now 11-10-5 with an 898 save percentage, and he has been great. I'm going to chart for you next week. I'll chart Hood's stats when it comes to, and I might have time during the game wrap here, his stats just since the Christmas break, because he has been so terrific. I will see how quick I can with pen in hand and give you a save percentage, I hope, anyway, in the next couple of minutes since the teams came back from Christmas, because it's going to be well over 900. Anyway, Hood was terrific. Giants 5-2 losers on Friday night to Portland. Tittle back at Lipinski with the goals. Levis, two helpers. Leslie, his first of what would be 6 points of the weekend. That came on Friday. And then on Saturday, the 6-2 win over Everett. Down 1-0 early, but up 2-1 after two. Had a four-goal third period. Leslie had a pair and three assists. Tittle back is 21st. Lipinski got 10. Baranov got his 13th. Roberts got his fourth plus a helper. Thorpe had two assists. Halliburton two assists. Levis chips in with another helper. Elaine and Sparks, two. That was what shaken down for the Vancouver Giants, who went 1-1 on the weekend, and Leslie was your top scorer with two goals and four assists. Levis, three assists. Tittleback, the two goals. Lipinski, two goals. Roberts, 1-1. Halliburton and Thorpe, two assists each. Those are your big point getters on the weekend for the Vancouver Giants. And the big game, it was on Saturday, because after the Giants played so poorly on Friday night, they had a couple of team meetings, one after the game and then one before the game. On Saturday, kind of like, what are you made of meeting? And they came out and pounced Everett 6-2. That's what they're made of. Here's how much of the game sounded on Saturday night with Nathan Kanner and Bill Wilms right here on Sportsnet 650.
Backhand pass up the middle is picked off. Schantz will come in and scores. It was an innocent-looking play, but he goes top corner on the glove side. And the former Regina Pat has his 13th of the year. It's 1-0 Everett.
You got to battle through these things. You got to battle through, giving up the first goal. You're playing on home ice. You got a team in this building that's only lost three times on the road in regulation.
Yeah, in regulation, they're 17-3-3-1 on the road. Thorpe stop. Looks in front for Muranov. He scores! Muranov with the finish, but what a play from Thorpe to set him up. We're tied 1-1, 11 seconds. Right back in, Roberts connects with Olsen down left wing. Pulls up, goes across the ice. Roberts will move in. He scores. It's Leslie with a bullet top corner. Giants lead 2-1.
Do I dare say the fourth line again? Impactful. You wanted offensive pressure. You wanted a change of momentum. How many times is a fourth line able to do that?
Giants need to keep firing this one. Eventually one will get through. Haliburton left circle. Back to Leslie. Tried to filter it through. He scores! Lipinski may have tipped it. And it's 3-1 Giants.
You almost feel, Nathan, that with that power play executing the way they have, although Sanch was massive, you almost felt cheated if he didn't come away with a goal.
Leslie, right side, he's got an open. Roberts will move in and fires. He scores! Colton Roberts with a huge goal. His fourth of the year. It's 4-1 Vancouver.
Good, great. 4-1 Vancouver Giants. Not sure Leslie's going to get an assist on
it. Oh, he is.
But it was a lot of his work that started that goal.
Everett quickly out and away. A 2-on-1 shorthanded. Heslop in left side. Tried to feed in front. Leslie broke it up. As Hamill would have been in all alone, but a diving Mazin Leslie. What a game he has had. And you know what, Bill? We've said that a few times this season where he has taken over. Now behind the net, Haliburton trying to get free. Got into the corner for Thorpe. Up to Leslie. A quick shot. He scores! And Haliburton gets that puck. Mazin Leslie officially the all-time goal-scoring leader amongst Giants defensemen. His 50th career goal.
Man, you just hope he's done enough for the next level of professional hockey.
Yeah. 5 points.
5.9
for Leslie. Yeah. Colton Alain in the final seconds will take it behind the net, and there goes the final buzzer. The Vancouver Giants defeat the Everett Silvertips by a final score of 6-2. They take down the league's best thanks to a 5-point night from the captain, Mazin Leslie. And how about 37 saves from 17-year-old rookie Burke Hood?
You betcha, Nathan. Burke Hood. You betcha, buddy. A 17-year-old could be around for a while in Vancouver. And boy, what a goaltender he's looking. He's turning into and looking to be under the tutelage of goaltending instructor Paul Fricker. Since, by the way, I did do math. I can't believe I got this done this quickly. But since Christmas break, Burke Hood is rocking a .917 save percentage. So if you just want to say second half of the year, .917 save percentage in the second half of the year for Burke Hood. And included in there is one game where he gave up, by the way, two shutouts in there, a 44 save and a 27 save shutout in there. .917 save percentage for Burke Hood in the second half of the season for the Vancouver Giants. That ain't bad. Those are Vegas numbers, baby. As promised, Senior VP Vancouver Giants, Dale Sipe is now with us. Hello, Mr. Sipe. How are you?
I'm good, Brooke. How are you?
I am swell. You're in Vegas. I should tell people because you guys are down there for what, league meetings?
Yeah, we have some meetings down here right now. Yeah.
Yeah, right in the middle of the Super Bowl. That's not a bad weekend to go down there.
Well, went a little bit early and watched the game. My team won. Not that I'm a big Eagles fan, but I thought it was about time that somebody else won something. So I was kind of pulling for the Bills. All the teams I was pulling for in the season to get to the Super Bowl, none of them got there. So
yeah. What's Vegas like in a Super Bowl?
you know, there's lots going on. The big game part, not like last year. Last year here, we actually the meetings are switched to another city here because the Super Bowl was here. You couldn't get a room or anything else here.
Wow. Hey, by the way, you sent me a picture yesterday of you, Sultan, and Brad Garrett, the actor, who I remember from Everyone Loves Raymond. I know he's done other stuff.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his. I just happened, we were just walking to our thing, and Sultan went in to get a coffee, and I looked over, Brad Garrett's standing there. So I went and talked to him, had a nice chat. He's a big hockey fan, and knew a lot of our former alumni and such.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Wow. And then Sultan tried to sell him a share of the team.
There you go.
There you go.
No, but
awesome. Yeah. That's cool. Great actor. Yeah, I really loved him, and Everyone Loves Raymond. He was Robert, the brother. He was just terrific and all that. Hey, big games are coming up for the Giants, too, and I wanted to ask you about that. By the way, we've already done Legends Night. I will throw this at people, Cyper, if you want to jump, but why not? Legends Night, we had McSorley, Archie Henderson, Goldie Goldthorpe. The next night, Richard Brodeur, Punch McLean, Mark Lofthouse. Oh, what are you going to do next year? How do you keep pulling these things off?
It's getting a little bit harder and harder because the legends aren't, you know, there aren't so many legends around anymore. Some of them have aged out, shall we say.
You have to change your age group for legends then.
There you go, yeah. The new legends, so to speak, aren't as prone to do things like that.
Yeah.
So, it's a challenge, but we'll see. Thinking about some different things. Next year's our 25th anniversary, right?
So
got to get on that and make sure we got some special guests.
Yeah, and we get them in the banquet hall, and they're there to as well drop ceremonial puck drops and whatnot, but we get them in the banquet hall, and we do the pregame show from there. From those who haven't joined us before, we've had some of the greats. We've had some of the Bobby Hull and Gordie Howe, and I mean, the list goes on. John McKeachy was there one? Jim Robson, Trevor Linden, all these guys, man. Johnny Bauer. Oh, I'm such a lucky guy, Cypher.
Johnny Bauer, what a class actor.
Oh, man.
Guy he was.
He was awesome. Igor Larionov and Bauer and all these guys are all up on the stage. Yeah. Phil Esposito and Joe Sakic. And oh, my goodness, the list goes on.
I don't mind saying, I've never had an original idea in my life. I just see something somebody else is doing and try to figure out how we can apply that to what we're doing and make it work and see if we can put the pieces together. And sometimes they don't work. Sometimes they don't come together, so you don't do it. And probably the one that I didn't get done that I wish I would have is way back in the day. I had it all lined up for a tropical vacation night at our game. And I lined up Bob Denver from Gilligan's Island. And he was going to bring the professor and Marianne. So that was in April that I kind of put that together and booked it for the next fall. And unfortunately, by the fall, and he was such a nice man on the phone and stuff, just a great guy. Bob got some sort of cancer and he died, passed away. So we never pulled that one off. But I think we could have had some fun with that. We probably still have some pictures floating around for that. That one night, I was pretty excited about that one. It's one that got away.
The one that got away. Bob Denver, terrific. What a terrific actor. Back at Dobie Gillis, that's how old I am too. And way back then, he was a very nice guy and a great actor. Russell Johnson, the professor, Don Wells, Marianne. That would have been something.
Yep.
It would have been something.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up.
Yeah, Marianne. I was always a Marianne guy. I know you were into Ginger, but Marianne was mine.
No, I was Marianne, too. Just was.
You were probably Mrs. Howell.
She was, well, anyway, now at my age. Yeah, now at my age. When I was working at BCTV years ago, Don Wells, Marianne was in the makeup room as I was walking by. And she was beautiful. I even lament the day. She had a couple of years on me, but I thought I still should have asked her out.
Yeah.
That one got away. Hey, by the way, coming up on Monday, I wanted to ask you about this. Monday, February 17th, week from today, family matinee presented by Valley West Stampede, Prince George, 2 o'clock game. What people look forward to at that game?
We've got a bunch of family activity. We get a little bit of giveaways courtesy of the Stampede and the local community. And we're going to have a lot of kids stuff set up. Pretty keen on Family Day. I think it's a great event for us, and it's a 2 o'clock game, right? So it's a good one. Bring all the kids too, and get him home and get him to bed and ready for school the next day at an early hour.
I hear you. Nickelodeon night, Wenatchee, March the 2nd. Real quickie, if I put you on the spot there in Vegas, Nickelodeon night, Wenatchee's here on the Sunday presentation of Remax. What's Nickelodeon night?
Well, it's we are basically going back to our cartoon days, Nickelodeon, and the Ninja Turtles will be represented on the ice, wearing our new Ninja Turtle outfits, running some activities during the game in benefit to the Children's Network. Yeah, I'm anxious to see these jerseys arrive. I'm waiting for them to show up. The design looks pretty cool. I'm waiting to see the actual jersey, though. Yeah,
I hear you. The last Ninja Turtle jerseys, they were pretty cool. That was something. Yeah. So, thanks, Cyper. Here I drag you away in the early evening, Vegas, mind you. You can stay out all night if you want, but thanks for doing this, pal. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah.
Say hello to...
I'm a pretty safe bet in Vegas to be in bed early, so yeah, all good.
Thanks, Dale. See you next week.
See you, pal. Take care.
Yo, yo, yo. Test, test. 1, 2, 1, 2. Level, level. Hello, hello. Dale Sipe, Sr., Vice President of your Vancouver Giants, on duty in Las Vegas tonight. Look for him at a blackjack table near you. When we come back, Bill Blackjack Wilms is going to join us. And we'll break down the week that Mazda and Leslie had, and the Giants as well, splitting over the weekend against two very good hockey clubs. Stay with us. More to come in just a moment. I'm Brooke Ward. He's Jack the Giant.
Oh, oh, oh.
This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford.
And Jason Brough.
Join us for Halford and Brough in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
Now behind the net, Halliburton trying to get free. Got it to the corner for Thorpe. Up to Leslie. A quick shot. He scores! And Halliburton gets that puck. Mazden Leslie officially the all-time goal-scoring leader amongst Giants defensemen. His 50th career goal.
Man, you just hope he's done enough for the next level of professional hockey.
Yeah. 5 points.
5.9
for Leslie.
Back on White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week, Brooke Ward with you here on a Monday night. Pitchers and catchers report in about 4 days, I think, folks. Hold on. No NHL, no more, you know, the Dubs going, obviously. No NHL, no more football, pitchers and catchers in a few days, and then everything's going to be fine. And the Giants are back on the weekend, too, at the friendly confines of the LEC. You're going to be okay. White knuckle it for a couple of moments. This guy's okay. Bill Wilms. The pride of the Vancouver Giants broadcast, along with Nathan Cantor. Hello, Mr. Wilms. How are you?
Hey, pitchers and catchers. Love that time of year. That's what's special. It shows you you're getting to that warmer weather. I am a big baseball fan, but regardless, it doesn't matter. Even though I don't watch that many games, pitchers and catchers reporting is exciting.
It's a good. Spring is out there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's funny because
I
don't like hockey season to end, but I like winter to end. It's kind of a bit of a pickle, I think, there, Bill.
You should be a Palm Springs guy. Coachella Valley.
Oh, man, I'm getting
Firebirds.
I'm getting that old. Hey, by the way, just before we get into the Giants, I did want to ask you about this. The Ballad of Punch McLean, I had posted on Twitter the other day, and Ernie Punch McLean was talking about the other day. There's an audio right now only, but Ernie said there's a video coming, Bill. But just Punch McLean in general, huh? The Ballad of Punch McLean. That's got to be. Go Google that if you want to at least hear the audio, but. Good old Punch, huh? Still hanging in there at 91, I think, now, Bill?
Yeah, incredible. Just absolutely incredible. I get such a kick out of talking to him at the LEC in between, well, before the game and in between periods. But he, you know what? He's still all with it 100%. He'll go over the lineup. He'll ask me about number so-and-so on the ice. And he likes him. He saw a guy with, I think it was with Everett or Portland, a defenseman. I can't remember his name, but he pointed him out to me. He said, this kid's going to be a National Hockey League. Yeah, I love Punch.
Yeah, and he does that, huh? He's a pretty good scout. I don't know if anyone's noticed. But, yeah, just Google that, the Ballad of Punch McLean, or at Brooke Ward Sports, if you will. I don't think I've ever given up my Twitter handle ever. before on the air. Maybe that's why nobody follows. but anyway, you can find it in there. Go look around in and about all the other dumb things I tweet. How about the Giants? The 1-1 week, Bill, and after basically a no-show against Portland on Friday, boy, did they show up on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Brooke. You know, when you're playing the Portland Winterhawks, you're always going into a game knowing what you're getting from them. To play for that team, their players have to know all about positioning and all about play execution. And when I talk about play execution, that's still Mike Johnson. He's no longer the coach there. He's the general manager, and it's still the same thing. That game against us on Friday night was about as good of example as I've seen any team, especially the Winterhawks, because of what their game plan is. They stretch the ice and they shrink the ice. And their mantra, Brooke, and as we get back to Mike Johnson, 10 shots first 10 minutes. And that works most nights. And they stretch the ice, they look for the long pass, they shrink the ice, and I thought they did that unbelievably well against the Giants. Took away their time, took away the Giants' space to make any kind of a play. And, you know, here's the thing. When you're playing Portland, because of the way they play that system, they really catch you flat-footed. And when they catch you flat-footed, you're not quite ready for what you're going to get from them. And guess what? Period one, they score at 2:20 early. First face-off, as a matter of fact, you know, in the Vancouver zone, bang. They went from one side of the ice to the other beautifully. Period three, guess what? They scored 45 seconds in the period. They scored 1:19. That made it 4-0. And it was really impossible to come back from. So, yeah, the Winterhawks are so good at that. And, you know, when I look at what takeaways can I take from that, you had to see him. You must have called his name so many times. Tyson Jugnauth, he's number 27, leading scoring defenseman in the Western Hockey League. By the way, it's Mazden Leslie's second. We can talk about him a little later. But he came as advertised. Coming into that game against Vancouver, he had played 3 games against the Giants. This is a defenseman this year. He had 9 assists in 3 games. He had 6 assists earlier this season, in a 7-2 win. And he's played them now 7 games. That's it, against Vancouver. He's got 14 assists, no goals. And I've never seen another defenseman that I think would be that prolific against Vancouver. And he clearly, for the system they play, he's the best player. He's a quarterback on every time he's on the ice, not just during power plays. You know, he went to Wisconsin to show how coaches are aware of what's going on. Mike Johnson saw that. He watched every game the kid played in Wisconsin on television. And he said, I noticed his ice time getting less and less and less. So he gave him a call, and he made the switch to Portland. And by the way, I think he's going back to Michigan State now. He is a 20-year-old. You know, and the other thing, you know, Brooke, I thought Burke Hood was, he's playing so well now that I didn't think there was one time in the game against Portland. And you called it. It wasn't a very good effort, to be honest with you. They're so badly outplayed. But there wasn't one time, I thought, in that game that he didn't inspire confidence, you know, and we're just taking that for granted right now. It's just wonderful. As a matter of fact, you know, the Portland Winterhawks, now I'm thinking about it, you know, they were so effective that one of the Vancouver goals scored that night was 6 attackers on a power play. That's what it took to break that ridiculously tough defensive structure that, you know, that they were playing.
5-2 Portland over the Giants, as we talked about on Friday. 4-0, 2 minutes into the second. And then it was like, whoa, man, what are you going to do on Saturday? Here comes Everett. So what?
Yeah.
Then what happened, Bill?
Well, okay. So you move into the Saturday game. Now you've had Spokane in, you know, previous to Portland. That was a loss. Probably the number one team in the Western Conference. And even now, I think are the Spokane Chiefs, and you just had Portland in. Okay, so now you've got another loss. All right, talking about Everett. Now you got one, the number one team in the Western Hockey League coming in here, Bill. 24 hours after that Portland game. Most wins in the Western Hockey League, fewest losses, fewest road losses, most goals for, fewest goals against. You know, how do you prepare? And especially that short turnaround. I asked Manny that. He said they had a meeting after the game Friday, a long one. Okay, that was after the Portland game. That's in the dressing room area there. And then they had a meeting Saturday in Ladner. You know, real heart-to-heart, he said, you know, before the game. And, you know, I've always felt meetings are obviously very important, you know, as long as you don't have a bunch of guys sitting around scratching their heads or wondering, you know, what this is all about. So you know, and he said, Manny said it had absolutely nothing to do with X's and O's. It was all about, you know, compete. It was nothing about structure. Nothing. You didn't have to. It's nothing about systems coming off Friday night's game. Now, I'm not sure it applied with Spokane, Portland, and Everett coming in, Brooke, but you probably heard this saying. You know, there's an old saying that says when you're up to your ass in alligators, it's too late to figure out how to drain the swamp. And now you're just fighting for your life. And to your point, wow, did they ever, eh? I mean, that was some kind of hockey game, that 5-2 win. You just couldn't play any better than that. And that was, like I say, after some pretty good talent had come in the building on opposing teams.
Well, I thought Manny, too, he said, after those meetings, he said, I expected us to come out and play really well, but I didn't expect how good we were actually going to play in that game.
Yeah, it's exactly. It surprised him. But he did say, okay, he did say in our interview with him, and we talked about this before, and it's so true, and this is so positive from a fan standpoint. He says they've set a template. They have a template of how to play to win. You know, we saw that. Nate and I saw that. We fans probably, if they were watching, you know, at Red Deer, at Lethbridge, at Portland, at Prince George, at Tri-City, Brooke, they played with where you looked at that team, or we looked at that team. I mean, the coaches even talked about it, that there was such a high potential ceiling because of the way they played. And, you know, you've heard the term scoring by committee. I really think this team is so much better when they compete by committee. You know, no passengers. The one thing that coaches will tell you is that the one thing that's not negotiable in any sport is effort. It's compete, is work ethic. The entire group has to be all in the win. And, you know, and it's, you know, when they perform the way that we're talking about here, it seems to me, I kind of feel that their performance catches up with that potential that we hear them talking about, that ceiling that they're talking about. And when they play, you know, when they play the way they can, according to that template, and they can do that now, they're doing that now with 16 games left in the season. I don't know about you, but it kind of tickles the imagination of what, you know, what this team is capable of. It's exciting.
Yeah, and we could go up and down the list here, but starts in goal, as you mentioned, with Burke Hood, and they're getting solid, consistent goal. He was terrific on the weekend. Went 1-1 on the weekend, but terrific on the weekend. I'm trying to dig up. I thought I did stats on him to say, yeah, he had a .917 save percentage on the weekend, Bill, Friday, Saturday.
And combined, eh?
Yeah, 1-1 with .917. And on the season now, he's .898. He's hovered right around. This rookie's 11-10-5. So
of all the let me rephrase that, because there aren't a bunch, but of the issues that the Vancouver Giants might have, he's the least of it. Goaltending's the least of it. And boy, we couldn't say that long ago.
Yeah. He's just rounded into such form, working with Paul Fricker, and after the Christmas break has just come back as what a step he took, shall we say. You're looking for guys to take steps.
Hey, Brooke, 17 years old. Like, we're not talking of a 19-year-old goaltender here.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul says he'll play in the NHL one day.
Yeah. Well, Paul and I talking about prospects, even a couple of years ago, he was saying, watch out for this Burke Hood kid. And
yeah.
He was just coming through the system then. And he's been bang right on. 11 wins in your rookie year and all that. And then there's a guy who's not a rookie, and he plays in front of Burkhood.
Yeah.
And his name's Mastin Lesley.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, 50 goals, one more all-time than for defensemen, one more than Johnny Blum. A five-point night on Saturday, Bill, a six-point weekend. What can you say about Mastin Lesley?
Yeah, well, I thought that was a tremendous, and not surprisingly, coming from the way the Giants do things, a great tribute by John Blum during the on that big screen, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I didn't know that was coming. I knew I'm up there in the PA booth, and they're telling me when he gets his 50th. So I know about the stat, but we've got a little video clip we're going to play. Okay, I just thought, well, they're going to show his first goal or something, but the Johnny Blum thing. And we got a break, Bill, because he scored that with a minute and 4 seconds to go in the game or something, and we needed one more whistle in order to get that
Is that right? Hey,
yeah,
wow.
Before the game ended, because we could have run it right at the end of the game, but we wanted to, we got lucky. With 30 seconds to go, there was another whistle. And then, boom, it gave Mazda a chance to, and everybody in the building still a chance to watch that. Now, if he'd scored, some people had left for the parking lot probably in what was a 6-2 game, but if he'd scored it in the second period, more people would have seen it. It was very nice.
It was awesome. And you know, very quickly, the Johnny Blum story, you know, he came up as a 16-year-old from Southern California, and there was real tragedy in his family. There was a fire in their home. He lost his twin sister. He leaves to come up to play in the Western Hockey League up in Vancouver and has that, wonderful career. By the way, we're talking about Mazin Lesley and goals, but John Blum is still third on the Western Hockey League defense plus minus. He's 133 all-time plus minus. By the way, Leslie's 50 goals is tied for 61 all-time. He's got 10 more to go, ties him with his coach, Manny. Manny had 60 goals as a defenseman. And by the way, Manny, I want to say this too, he's third all-time in the Western Hockey League for defense assists, Manny Beaveros. He was drafted by Edmonton, I think, in the sixth round in 84. But speaking of Mazin Lesley, and keep it short, he makes incredibly few bad reads or decisions at the opposing blue line. You know, and he gave notice. Remember, as a 15-year-old, he played in the bubble. He had 5 goals. I think his vision at the blue line is second to none. I mean, there was one night he had, 3 primary assists, and that continues all the time. And his shot, I think it comes off his stick in a flash. It comes off so very quickly. I told Manny this after. I just hope he's doing enough to show that he can really be successful playing with men. And you know what he needs? I'll tell you what he needs. Mazin Lesley for a contract in the NHL or pro contract. He's got to have a long playoff run. I mean, that's where you leave a lasting impression. And so I think the team, I think Burkhood, I think Mazin Lesley, I'm really excited about what's ahead for this Vancouver Giant team because, again, when they play like they can and they're all on that same sentence, and by the way, sitting about 6 feet in front of Nathan and I the other night were some pretty good players out of the lineup, Ryan Lynn, Aaron Obobifo, and Merrick Howell. You had everybody, and I know they won't have Obobifo back, but this is a really exciting team, honestly, going in totally the right direction. But you're only as good as your last game, and you got Victoria back-to-back this weekend.
Back-to-back with Victoria. You've got in Victoria on Friday night, and then back here against the same Victoria Royals on Saturday. Prince George in Monday for a 2 o'clock game, too, Bill. A busy weekend, as always, but back-to-back. First up, those Royals who are having a good year.
I think probably they'd be themselves saying they're exceeding expectations a little bit. But, Patrick, their coach behind the bench, has been very successful in Winnipeg with the Winnipeg Ice. I think he's second year in Victoria. All that aside, this is a team that boasts an awfully I think they made as good a trades as anybody at the trade deadline, and we can talk about that another time. But and then let me just say this. After the Monday game, I don't want to say a breather, but you got Kelowna, Wenatchee for three. So it's a good time of the season. Boy, if they can even get a split on the weekend, that'd be great. But I'll tell you something, they could take them both if they're playing the way we just spent, 10 or 12, 15 minutes talking about.
I hear you. So here's what I've got. Billisms today to add. When you're up to your ass in alligators, it's too late to drain the swamp. I like that.
Well, you can't be figuring out how do we drain the water. We got to go to work.
I get
you. We got to fight for our lives. Manny's talking about that.
I got you. Thank you, pal. Appreciate it, Bill, as always.
Okay. Take care. See ya.
That's Bill Wilms. That's my pal, Bill. And coming next, my pal, Steve Ewan, as well. Keeping it busy. Keeping it real tonight. It's our jam right here on Sportsnet 650.
Sparks to Elaine at the blue line, left side for Tittleback, a shot, he scores! Why not add another one? 13 seconds to go, Adam Tittleback is 21st of the season, and it is 6-2 Vancouver.
Nathan Catter with a call, 6-2 Vancouver, like a question mark at the end of that, like really? It's Everett in town, aired him out 6-2 on Saturday night. Steve Ewan is with us, no surprise that Ewan is with us today because I've run out of things to talk about, Yui. So here you are. I have no idea.
I can help.
Didn't he sound surprised at the end of that call?
He did sound surprised, but it was kind of the way this team has been consistently inconsistent. I think it kind of makes perfect sense that they didn't play all that well against Portland the night before and look like they could win a series or two on a Saturday against a very good Everett team.
That's funny, yeah. Because they looked like they, on Friday, frankly, it's like, playoff team? I mean, question mark?
Yeah.
And then Saturday, they looked really good and fell behind early.
That's kind of been their MO all year, hasn't it? Like, yeah. It's been...
Can't beat Seattle.
They're very good.
Can't beat Seattle.
No.
Can't beat teams from, I was going to say Washington, but Portland's not in Washington. But anyway, you know what I mean. Can't beat Seattle. Just didn't look like they showed up Friday night against Portland.
But I thought they were very good in, I know the Sunday game against Spokane was 5-2. I mean, it was really a 3-2 game in a lot of ways with two empty net goals at the end. I thought they were very good against a Spokane team that's been flying since the trade deadline.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Spokane, you said Spokane too. Attaboy. Portland.
Before that.
Oh, yeah. Yui, what are you doing to me? No, way back then.
Sorry, didn't mean to bring facts to the table.
You might even mention that over the week ago, but I didn't pick up on that. So it's kind
sorry.
Of like, wow, man, I could barely remember like Super Bowl Sunday, man, and that wasn't that long ago.
That's so very true.
Wasn't that a game? That was a game.
The most fun I've had.
Halftime. Was that Kendrick Lamar? Who was singing?
Kendrick Lamar. Oh. I love that guy.
Oh man, there was no gunfire.
What about Taylor? Come on.
Taylor Swift sitting there. Sitting
doing
right
that
there.
Taylor Swift stuff.
Oh, being Taylor Swift.
Crazy.
Freddie doing like your cat. I love me some Taylor Swift. I love me some Freddie like your cat. Freddie doing Freddie things.
I love me some Freddie. Freddie enjoyed the Super Bowl as well. We had to keep him out of the chicken wings. But
I was going
to
say.
Was good.
But then there's special treats for Freddie yesterday, probably. Freddie the cat, Yui. If you follow him on Instagram or anywhere, you can just see Freddie the cat. I love me some Freddie the cat.
Yes.
I know. Freddie doing Freddie things.
He pretty much is the... I apologize to anyone that follows me on Instagram because they get a lot of Freddy the Cat.
You can't give me enough Freddy the Cat. And Kendrick yesterday at the halftime, oh, man. And yeah. There was no gunfire. That was good.
I think Kendrick and Freddy would probably be friends if they ever met.
They'd be better friends than Kendrick and Drake are, apparently.
And that's not hard.
If you're following that thing. Drake not allowed in the building.
Five diss songs, is it? Is that what he's up to now?
There's a lot of diss tracks. They're making.
That's a lot of diss.
Making money, man. A lot of diss and a lot of dat.
You know who we're not dissing, though, right now? The Vancouver Giants coming off that win over at Breaker Everett.
Who's flying under the radar? Is Tittleback kind of flying under the... You just heard his 21st for Tittleback.
I think he showed up with a lot of hype last year, and it was an adjustment year for him. And I think the Giants people seem to think that he had this in him. So he's a skilled guy. I think he's. They've got a lot of skill. They're a fun team to watch. They've got a power play that looks like it could regularly go off at 30-35%. And you get that power play going in the playoffs, and that's a tough matchup.
And that power play was rocking 35% earlier mm-hmm. this year, and has, as expected, leveled out. But
a market correction, I think.
Yes, indeed. But Tittleback is kind of flying under the radar to me.
A little bit.
All of a sudden, he's got 21 goals and 36 points, and he had 9 goals last year and 30 points.
You wonder if a national team takes a flyer on him late.
Yeah. Like, he was minus 21 last year, too. And
yes.
Now he's sitting plus 3, and just all of a sudden, I just noticed, actually, in the last week or two, obviously, hey, you know what? He's creeping up in 20. Sitting on 21, second-year player. Yeah. The pride of...
Handles the puck. He's got lots of skill. He looks way more comfortable than he did a year ago. I think as a group, I think they check better. So I think all the plus-minus stuff is probably going to be better.
Yeah. Anyway, he's a guy that just all of a sudden, like, okay, you're looking at 25 anyway, potentially for him this year. And then next year is what I'm looking at. It's kind of funny because when I look at the players like that, I'm like, okay, second year. And Bill has said about him, we were talking about how, because he's got great wheels. And what did Bill say? One of the Billisms, you want to be quick, but not in a hurry. So it's like you want to be fast, but you don't want to rush it. You chill when you get in the offensive zone. And I don't know if I'm seeing that. Maybe I'm seeing that improvement out of him a little bit as well. Like, you think the game, Yui. You need a guy who thinks the game, right?
Yes. I'm good in the room.
You're good in the room. Doesn't matter what you do on the ice, you're good in the room.
Yes, I'm a culture guy.
Yeah, you're old JT Miller in the room. Fighting the coaches, breaking down doors.
There you go,
JT Miller. The pride of New York now. Anyone else? By the way, we're all talking Mazden Leslie, obviously, and I'm going to get the hood to you. And then the standings quickly, Yui, before I just finally get rid of you, because I'm now starting to think of things to ask you. But Leslie, the five-point performance, he's destined for NCAA next year. That could change, but that's his plan at the moment. But what about this Mazden Leslie coming along?
I think the Giants group has always thought highly of him. I think his offensive instincts are very good. I think as he gets bigger and stronger, and becoming a better athlete, I think he's doing more. I think he works great with Ryan Lynn. I understand his thinking, but he's going to have 270 games in the WHL by the end of the season, so I can understand him wanting a different challenge in the event he doesn't go pro. He very well could get a pro opportunity. The NCAA thing may never come to fruition. He may go off and get a pro opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of my thought on that.
Have you spoken to him about just the progression? Like, you make a great point. Hey, I just need a change. Or not need a change, but it's time for a change. I just wonder if you chatted with him about that at all.
Yeah, no, he talked about that. I mean, he's in a very unique circumstance in that he was part of the COVID bubble year. They didn't have minor hockey that year, so he got to play regularly as a 15-year-old, which you normally don't get.
Mm.
So he's got essentially, I mean, I know it's an abbreviated year, but he's got essentially an extra year compared to most guys. So I understand the thought process. This Giants team, he was one of the guys that we're building around, so I understand they're going to have to pivot in the event he does not come back. That's a challenge for them.
Yeah.
But I think anybody who's interested in hockey at this level is figuring it out. And I think anybody who tells you that they know exactly how the NCAA major junior thing is going to play out and how it's all going to roll out, I think they're lying. There's talk about the NCAA giving a fifth year to athletes. So how many guys come back and how does that change? I don't think anybody really knows for sure. My limited thought is that there's going to be a few guys tried, a few 18 and 19-year-olds, and if they're wildly successful, there'll be more the following year.
Yeah.
If they're not, I think
interesting.
I think guys will bounce back.
Interesting. See, you do know all about it, and you're not lying.
I know a little bit.
You made some of that up, but you're not completely.
I know it sounds. I'm reading off a cue card.
As long as it's you're getting cues from Freddie the Cat, I know.
Freddie the Cat printed that out for
doing
me.
Doing prep for you.
On the fly.
You still have a printer? Yeah. Just go paperless, buddy.
Go Freddie.
Yeah, go all Freddie on you. Vancouver sitting here, including losing that four-pointer to Portland the other day. still back within three of the Winterhawks. So they've clawed back within three. Oh, man, it would have been a nice time to get a win on Friday night. But Vancouver sixth right now, one up on seventh place Tri-City, well ahead of eighth, ninth on the outside looking in, et cetera, et cetera. So comfortably in a playoff position. I'm just assuming that it's a six or seven hole. I don't know what happens with Tri-City, but I just keep waiting for Portland to do something and pull away, but they haven't.
Yep.
So where do you think the things are going to end up as we're running out of games here for the Giants too?
I think they could very well end up in that six hole and have that matchup with probably Spokane.
Yeah.
I know they loaded up. I know they did well at the deadline with Crystal. This Vancouver team is such an enigma just in terms when you see them that, and they're going right and they're playing connected and playing, supporting the puck both offensively and defensively, that they're a handful. But there's nights where guys seem to go into business on their own, whether it's trying to do too much or just not buying into the system. I don't know what it is, but, and then they look like the team we saw in Portland that had, trouble getting shots on goal. So I think if anybody tells you that they know how the NCAA Major Junior thing is going to play out, I think they're lying. I think anybody who tells you they know the Vancouver Giants team is going to show up for the playoffs, I think they're lying as well.
Nice one. So, well, they're not lying. They might be mistaken, but...
They might be mistaken for us. But I think this... They have a very good group of offensive players. They seem to think the game offensively well. That Everett win becomes even more impressive when you add in the fact that Ryan Lynn wasn't there, and he's been such a great find for this team, and has been.
Mm-hmm.
He came in with hype, and he's been even better than the hype.
Got to get him healthy.
Which is hard to do.
Got to get him healthy. Yeah, missed a couple games. You noticed it too. So might have made a difference against Portland. You never know. But I'd be lying if I said I knew for sure.
Yes.
I'd be lying you if I told you this is the best interview we've ever done together.
I say it's definitely in the top 100.
Yeah. Okay. You're not lying. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy lying around with Freddie. Just like see what I did
and talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and
see what I did. See what I did.
Living the Super Bowl.
And there was no gunfire at halftime. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's a good day in the States these days.
That's a
good day for a rapper. Anyway, there was no gunfire today. That's a good day. Hey, pal. I appreciate it. You're a straight shooter, Steve
Thanks
Ewing.
Thanks so much.
See what I did there? Thanks for joining.
I see you working.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying hard. I got nothing, clearly. Sure. See you Saturday the next time the G-Man come home, pal.
I like it too.
I like it too, Yui. Steve Ewan, we all like him. Vancouver Province Scribe, Vancouver Sun Scribe. One of the last newspaper guys left, almost. So you got Kuzma around, you got McIntyre. Not that many of the old guard left. That's Steve Ewan right there. Vancouver Giants, again, back at it on Friday night. They're in Victoria to take on the Royals, a red-hot hockey club, won five in a row. And surprisingly, near the top of the standings in the West, I would say, when it comes to the Royals, too. Friday in Victoria, Saturday at home to the Victoria Royals, 7 o'clock. And then on Monday, Family Day, Monday coming up, it's Prince George, 1 week from today, a 2 o'clock matinee at the LEC. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate it, all you people listening in and tuning in. Say hello to all hospital patients and shut-ins tonight, those who can't get out to see White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. This guy always seems to get here, and it's a good thing, too. He is my bouncer. It's Jack the Giant.
Ho, ho, ho.
Thank you, Jack, buddy. You're the man, the myth, and you are the legendary burger of my life, big guy. Thank you for listening tonight. Giants back at it Friday in Victoria at home against the Royals, and Saturday we'll see you there at the LEC. I'm Brooke Ward. This has been White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.